Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah. We're going to finish off Daf Tes. We're going to do Tes Amud Beis, and we're also, Yirtz Hashem, going to do Daf Yud. And we're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Elizabeth Weiler, Tzertel Bas Reb Chaim. All the neshamos we learn for should have an aliyah. We begin at the very top of Tes Amud Beis with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'oseh Sukkosu Tachas Ilan. If a person makes a Sukkah underneath the tree, in other words, the branches are still attached to the tree, this is Mechubel Lekaka, and this is not a Kasher Eschach. And therefore, you have pasul eschach, branches attached to a tree, or pasul eschach over your sukkah. So, hosa sukkah, so tachas so ilud, it is going to be psula, Rashi tells us. Ki ilu asua b'soch habayis. And the reason is because it's as if you made it inside a house. The branches of the tree that are attached to the tree, that's attached to the ground, are no different than if you built this inside your house. You have a pasul eschach over your sukkah, and therefore it's no good. Gemara will discuss this, obviously, in more detail. Then the Mishnah tells us, sukkah agabi sukkah. You have one sukkah, and on top of it, you have another sukkah. Again, the Gemara will explain exactly what we're talking about. So the Mishnah's, the Tanakhama, tells us, well, El Yonah Kshera, the upper sukkah is good because it's a perfectly kosher sukkah. The fact that you're on top of something, we don't view that as being you're more than 20 yam off the ground. We look at the point where your ground is of that sukkah. You build a sukkah on the top of a roof. The roof's a 20-story building, and your sukkah is on top of the roof, you know, assuming it's strong enough to stand there in the wind, so it's a perfectly kosher sukkah, even though it's way, way, way more than 20 amos above the ground. You look at it, the ground that the sukkah is on, so that's the rooftop, and as long as the top of the sukkah is within 20 amos, the schach is within 20 amos of the ground of that sukkah, it's good. So here, the second sukkah, the top sukkah, is perfectly fine, the Tanakhama tells us. Ha'yona k'shera. However, the bottom of sukkah is no good because it has a sukkah on top of it. And the Gemara will explain in more detail why this is no good. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. In Ein Diorin Bo Yona, if nobody lives in the upper sukkah, the Gemara will define exactly what does it mean if nobody lives there. And ultimately it will say that the upper sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is able to support somebody or pillows or covers in that sukkah, but precariously. It's not a simple, safe structure. But even if it's able to do so, reviewed Omer, im ein diorin bel yona hatachton nechshera. Nevertheless, if it's not a sturdy structure, Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasu, the very first mission of the Masechta, he says it has to be a diras keva, has to be a very solid structure. So in this situation, it's not a solid enough structure to ruin, to have the shame of a sukkah on top of another sukkah, and therefore hatachtona would be kshera in this situation. Again, the Gemara will define a lot of what we said in the Mishnah in more detail. We start the Gemara Amar Rava. Rava says, Lo shanu ela be'ilon shetzilaso meruba mechamaso. That which we said, that if you have a branches of a tree that's attached to the ground, hanging over your sukkah, it ruins it. We only said that if you have from the tree, shetzilaso meruba mechamaso, that the shade of the tree that is over your sukkah provides more shade than sun. And that's why it's pasul eschach, because it's attached to the ground, and that's why it ruins your sukkah for you. However, avo chamaso meruba misilaso kshera. But if the branches are sparse, and in fact they only provide a small amount of tzel, and most of the sunlight is able to get through the branches, so then it is a perfectly still good sukkah. The little bit of the branches over your sukkah doesn't ruin it for you. So Gemara questions this and says, Mimai, how come? So Gemara says, Midiktoni ki ilu aso b'so chabais, because look at the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, when is a tree no good? It's psula, because ki ilu aso b'so chabais, as if you made it in the house. So what does it mean if you made it in the house? Lomid lemiste ki ilu aso b'so chabais. Why did it say that? It should have just said, l'stei psula, it's no good. Why are you comparing it to as if you made it inside the house? Oh, to teach us a comparison to inside the house. Eloha komashulon, the ilon dumi the bias that we're dealing here with, a tree that is similar to the house in the sense that ma bayis silosa meruba mechamaso av ilon silosa meruba mechamaso. So too, just like in a house, you have a ceiling. So that's why you can't build a sukkah inside your living room, because the ceiling of the house is going to provide way too much shade. It's going to totally provide shade over the sukkah, and therefore you don't have schach in the sukkah. You have a ceiling in the sukkah, and that's no good. So too, if the tree is significant, so it provides enough shade, so then it's going to ruin the sukkah because the tree is pasul eschach. But if it doesn't, so then it's like in your house. If you make a opening in your ceiling, and then you put schach on it, so a sukkah inside a house could be good in that situation. More questions what Rava said. This is Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. Rava says, wait a second, even if you're telling me that there's only sparse branches over here on the tree, and therefore the sunlight is more than the tzel from this tree attached to the ground over your sukkah, nevertheless, it still shouldn't be good. How does that help you that it's only a sparse amount? After all, Let's put some numbers to this to make it easy to understand. If you have the sparse tree, it's 20% sparse tree providing shade. So that's only a small amount. So that doesn't ruin it, Rava says. But the Gemara questions this and says, well, that 20% of sparse shade is going to be over, let's say, 20% of good schach below it. And that nullifies the good schach below it. And let's say you only had 60% of good schach, which is more tzel, tziloso, merubim, mechamoso. So the bottom sukkah without the tree over it would be perfectly good. It has 60% schach, 40% sun. And therefore, it is a perfectly good kosher sukkah. But now, the 20% of the branches over the 60% good schach is going to nullify that 20% of good schach. And therefore, the pasul schach nullifies the 20% below it of good schach. And you're only left with 40% of good schach. Now, you have, without the full kosher of schach, you only have 40%, so you have chamoso, merubim, and tziloso on the bottom sukkah. So the Gemara says, Rava, how does your answer help us? You've essentially nullified the good schach, and now you're left with less than the 50% requirement to have the tziloso, merubim, and chamoso. Tosos points out, the big top Tosos, that obviously, if you are dealing here with, let's say you had 80% good schach at the bottom, and you're only nullifying 20%, so obviously you still have good schach left, even if you nullify the schach, the possible schach nullified the schach that was good underneath it. So you nullify 20%, but you still have from 80%, 20% taken away, 60%, so then that situation would certainly be good. But what they're saying here is, when you don't have that, it should be no good. And the Mishnah, according to Rava, didn't seem to make any distinction whether you had a lot or a little. So that is the problem, according to Rava. So Rav Papa explains, no, Amar Rav Papa, Bishach Avotan. Now, there's two ways to understand what Bishach Avotan means. Rashi explains over here that you're dealing with Hishpil Anofav Lamata. You are pushing the branches from this tree down onto the Kosher Eschach. You're making it all one level. And Muravin Himaschach Kosher. And now the Pasul Eschach of the branches is physically mixed in with the Kosher Eschach that was on the Sukkah. The Ein Nirin, the En. And you can't distinguish between one type of Eschach and the other type of Eschach because they're all intermixed together. The Eschach Kosher Rabba Olav, the Eschach Kosher is 60%. The Eschach Pasul is 20%. Now here it's not blocking out that 20%, it's all mixed in together. And this, therefore, is the principle of batal berav. Komile batal beruba. This is a principle in the Torah, batal berav. And therefore, the 20% of the schach posel from the attached to the tree itself, is not going to ruin the 60% in my examples of the numbers. I'm making up these numbers, but the principle is the same, that it's not going to be able to ruin it because batal berav. So the 20% now is batal. It's not nullifying the good schach. It's batal to the good schach. So that's what we're dealing with in this situation. That's Rashi's definition of Bishach Avotan. You're actually physically pulling it down to the same level. On the other hand, the Baal HaMor brings down that you're actually beating these leaves off the branches like we do with Hoshana Rabbah when we clap Hoshanas. That's what Bishach Avotan means. You beat off the leaves off the branches, so now there's very little left over there, and therefore Bishach Avotan makes it that you don't have a concern that it's nullifying any of the good schach because there's very, very, very little pasul schach now and not enough to nullify it in any situation, the good schach underneath it. Okay. Gemara says, this is obvious, whichever teretz used, like Rashi or like the Baal HaMor, Bishach Avotan, Milah Neimer. So then what's the chiddush over here? You're basically telling me that if you have a kosher sukkah, it's fine. So the Gemara says, no, there is a chiddush over here. Now, the time I might have said, nigzor, we should make a gzeir over here. We're only allowing this tree over the sukkah to be good, bishach avotan, either like Rashi or like the Balmar. So maybe we should make a gzeir that we don't allow it, even bishach avotan, nigzor, hecho de chavotan, or to hecho de lo chavotan. Because if we allow you to do it with chavotan, people may not do the chavotan, they'll say it was good with the chavotan, maybe it's good even without the chavotan, so maybe we should make a gzeir. So therefore, kamash b'lon, the low gazrina. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is that we don't make such a gezerah. Oh, that is a valid chiddush. One says, but we learned this already. Hanami tanina. This we learned in a Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem we'll get to in tomorrow's year, on Daf Yud Aleph. The Mishnah there says, hidla alea es hagefen. If you take a sukkah that doesn't yet have schach on it, and you go and throw over a vine, a gefen is a vine, or dalas, of various types of gourds or pumpkins, and you put them, they're still attached to the ground, and you turn them over on top of the sukkah to function as srach, or the es hakisos. Rashi explains that kisos is an aseb, a type of grass, hamispashit mode. It spreads out very much. It's like ivy. Visharoshav ki ilon. Its roots are like that of a tree. Vikorin ki ilon. And its trunk is like that of a tree. Vikorin lo idra, umispashit ola ala chomos. And this is ivy growing over. So you either throw over the vine, or this dalaz, or this ivy, this kisos, over the top of the sukkah to function as chach. And then, besicha chagaben, and then you add kosher schach on top of them. So this is no good. Psula. Rashi explains, this is not good because mishum mechuba, because the parcel of schach is still attached to the ground. However, it depends. However, if the kosher schach is so much more than this parcel of schach, and in other words, you're not using the parcel of schach to contribute to making the tzelasa meruba mechamasa, so then in this situation, it is good. Or alternatively, if you even cut it off, oshikatsatsan, sheva, in both of these situations would be good. So, that obviously is talking about the following scenario. Hechidami, what are we talking about? Ilema bishalo chavotin. If you're telling me that you didn't have the mul on the same level, like Rashi, or that you didn't beat off the amount of the pasul ischach to make it an insignificant amount, so then hakom etzdar, ischach pasul, ischach kosher. So then you would be making, over here, the combination of Silasa, Meruba, Mechamasa with Pasal Ischak. So obviously that can't be. Ella, mustn't it be? Ella Lav Kishechavater. You must be having them totally intertwined, like Rashi says, or that it's beaten off so that you don't have the Pasal Ischak ruining it for you. So clearly, we don't make such a Gzeira. Ushmamino, the Logas Rinan. So we already learned this in the Mishnah in the Daf Yud Aleph. So why do you have to tell it to me again now? Someone says, no. If we only had that Mishnah, I would have said there it's talking about Bidiyevit, Hidla. You did it already. So what's the halacha? Okay, so then we say, if you do the chavot, then you're okay. So about the Temohani Mila Bidiyevit, that would only be Bidiyevit. But Lechatrila, Avu Lechatrila Lo, therefore Kamash Vulon, our Tana tells us that in our situation, even it's good Lechatrila. You can do this Lechatrila. Then we quote our Mishnah, it said, Sukkah Agabi Sukkah Vechule. We said, if you have a Sukkah on top of another Sukkah, so the Tana Kama says it's no good. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends whether you have Diur in there or not. Tana Rabban, we learn in the Braisa, why is a Sukkah on top of another Sukkah not good? Because it says, Basukos Teshu. It says, you shall sit in a Sukkah, singular, because it's spelled deficient. Lo Besukkah Shetachas a Sukkah, and not in a Sukkah underneath a Sukkah. The lo besukkah shetachas alila, and likewise not underneath another tree. The lo besukkah shibatochabayis, and likewise not a tree that's in a sukkah that's in a house. Well, it says, wait a second, adarabba, the word basukos is pronounced as if it's plural, implying that you can sit in a sukkah underneath a sukkah. Adarabba basukos tarti mashma. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, no, basukos ksiv, but it's spelled without the vav, and therefore that takes into account, and Tosus points out, and Dibur Masa Basukos, little Tosus at the bottom, Vafilu Mandiyomer Yesh Ein LaMikra, even according to the one that says the pronunciation is critical and it's pronounced plural, Mode, the Lolochinam Nichtav HaMesoris, Kedifrishus Leal. Still, nevertheless, even though he says that the primary pronunciation is critical, but he doesn't ignore the fact that it's spelled without a vav. So spelling it without a vav teaches us, even according to that man, the Omer, that a sukkah, tachas a sukkah, is no good. So that's the understanding why in our Mishnah it's no good. Now the Gemara tells us, Rav Yirmiyah says, pa'amim shishteim kisheros, sometimes you can have the upper and the lower sukkah both good. Pa'amim shishteim psulos, sometimes you can have the upper sukkah and lower sukkah both no good. And sometimes one is good, one is not good. Pa'amim shatachton kisheros, the bottom one is good, v'al-yonah psula, the top one is no good. And sometimes pa'amim shatachton psula, v'al-yonah kisheros, and vice versa. Sometimes it is the bottom one that's no good, and the top one is good. Now, Rav Yirmiyah is going to go through all four of these cases now to tell us what they are. Pa'amim shishteim kisheros, hechidami, how do you have a scenario that both of them are good? That's simple. Kigon, shetachtona, chamosa, meruba, misilasa. The bottom one has very little schach. Chamosa, the sun comes in, if you just had the bottom one alone, is much, much more than the tzel. So you have very little kosher schach on the bottom one. But the top one, well, yonah, tzilasa, meruba, chamosa, has wonderful schach on the top one. So therefore, the top one is definitely kosher schach. And since the top one is also the kaima el yonah, besoch esum, the top one is still within 20 amma of the bottom one, so it can function as the schach for the middle level, the top level, as well as the lower level. So therefore, this is an example, Rav Yirmiyah says, where both of them are good. Pamim shishteim besulos hechidami, how are both of them not good? Under what circumstances is that? So the Gemara says, kigon de tarvayu tzilosa meruba mechamosin. Both of them have a tremendous amount of schach. So the top one, why wasn't that good? So the answer is, zekaima el yona lemala meyesim amma. The top one, the schach is more than 20 amma. So the top one is no good because it has an inappropriate schach. But that inappropriate tzrach not only is ruining it for the top one, it also ruins it for the bottom one, because now the bottom one, the tzelosa from the bottom one, isn't coming from its own. It's coming from the pasul tzrach all the way up on the top. So that's why in the second scenario, both of them are no good. The third scenario was that one is good, one is not good. The bottom one is good, and the top one is no good. We turn to Yud Amud Aleph. Under what circumstances is this? So the Gemara says, "Hechi dami kegon shatachtona tzilosa meruba mechamasa." The bottom one is good because it has perfectly good schach. The schach is more present than the sun, and therefore the bottom one is good. Why doesn't the top one ruin it? The Elyona chamasa meruba mechamasa, because the Elyona doesn't really have enough schach. So the little bit of good schach that you have on the top doesn't ruin the bottom one, because there isn't enough there to ruin anything on the bottom. Even if it was pasul l'schach, it wouldn't ruin it. And certainly this isn't pasul l'schach on the top. So the bottom one is perfectly good. And the top one is no good because it doesn't have enough. El yonah chamasa meruba mesilasa. And therefore, in this situation, the top one is no good. And both of them, mekayimei tarvayu b'soch esrim, they're both within 20 amah, even the bottom one. So the top one isn't considered pasul l'schach under any circumstances. And that's why in this third scenario, the bottom one is good and the top one is no good. The fourth scenario is vice versa. Upam Shel Yona Kishera, the top one is good, the Tachtona Basula, and the bottom one is no good. Hey Chidami, what are the circumstances over here? So it's very simple. Kigom the Tavayu Tzilosa Meruba Mechamosim. Both of them have perfectly good schach. The top one is perfectly good, the bottom one is perfectly good. But the Kaimo El Yona Betoch Esim, the top one is within 20 amma of its floor, so therefore it's perfectly good kosher schach. The top one is good, but that's going to ruin it for the bottom one, because it is going to be a sukkah, tachas sukkah, and that is no good. Now, all these four statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah, the two that are both good, the two that are both not good, top one good, bottom one no good, top one no good, bottom one good. So, pshita, what exactly is Rabbi Yirmiyah being mechadish over here? None of them said something on the surface that seems to be such a chiddush that we need Rabbi Yirmiyah to tell us this. They're all pretty obvious. Shmuel says, no, they're not all pretty obvious. The case of Tachtona Kishera, where the bottom one is good, and Elyona Psula, and the top one is no good, that one is a chiddush. Why is that? Because Ma'al de Tema, I might have said that we may make a gzeir over here. Nigzar Dilma Mitzarev Schach Pasul Bahadi Schach Kosher. I might have thought that maybe in this situation we should combine the Pasul of Schach on the top with the Kosher Schach on the bottom and ruin it. Therefore, Kamash Ulan. We don't say that, and that's the chiddush of Rav Yirmiyah's statement. So, scenario number three, the case where the Tachtona was good and the Oyona is no good, that was necessary, that was a Chiddush. So therefore, once he tells us case number three, he tells us one, two, and four as well. It's all parallel, two good, two no good, one good, one not good, and then vice versa. The Gemara continues and says, Kama yehe bein sukka l'sukka utei tachtona psula. At what point do you define an upper versus a lower sukkah? If you have a layer of schach, so the schach is, you know, an inch above, one layer above the other layer, is that considered two sukkahs, and the top one is good, and the bottom one is no good, but the top one's an inch big, it's not a kosher sukkah because of its size? What defines a sukkah tachas a sukkah? How much space do you have to have between them? So we'll have three shittos over here. One says a tefach, one says four tefachim, and one says ten tefachim. And we'll see each one what they're coming to teach us or what they're based upon. So the Gemara tells us, how much space does it have to be between the sukkahs in order for it to be considered a sukkah tachas a sukkah? So the first opinion is, on the Rav Huna, tefach. Rav Huna says it's a tefach. Why is a tefach significant to create a separate shame of sukkah on the top sukkah? Because the sheet of a tefach is significant elsewhere in regards to the dinum of ohel, and that's in regards to the dinum of tumah. We had this actually a few days ago, where we have, if you have a space of a tefach, so then tumah is able to go and spread out in that space, and it won't be bokas, it won't go up, it won't be able to penetrate that roof, but it will spread out underneath the roof. If you have a Rachman Salam, a dead person, and he's in a coffin, so that tumah would go straight up through the coffin, unless there's a space between the body and the top of the coffin, and then the tumah doesn't penetrate through it, it goes up to the roof of this coffin, and then spreads out across the entire coffin, even going over where the mace is not, to make that entire area of ohel underneath that all tumah of tumas mace. So therefore, a concept of a tefach makes it ohel in this situation, and that's what Rav Huna tells us. Shekei motzinu ba'olei tumas Tumot tefach. In regards to tumas mace, there is a concept, as long as you have a tefach, a space above the mace, and then the roof, so it won't penetrate through that roof, and it will spread out underneath that roof. Now, we have the Girsa D'Tanya, that it's a brisa, but it's actually a mishnah olos. Olos is only mishnah, so if it's from olos, it has to be a mishnah. D'Tanan. And that's why the Masor Sashas changes around the Girsa over here to D'Tanan. And this Mishnah tells us in our laws, tefach al tefach, berom tefach, as long as you have a space of at least one tefach by one tefach, length and width, and the height is also a tefach, so then in this situation, if there is tumah underneath this, maybe as a tumah, the tumah can go straight up to the ceiling, to this roof over here, the chotzeis of their tumah, but the ceiling will block that tumah from penetrating through it, but it will spread out underneath the entire ceiling. However, avo pachos mirom tefach, if you have less than a tefach of space, then it is not considered an ohel, and tumah goes right through, lo maybe below chotzis, and it won't spread out underneath this roof, and it will penetrate right through this roof. So therefore, Rav Huna tells us, since the tefach is significant in regards to ohel hames, it's significant in regards to sukkah, tachas sukkah. That's the first opinion, Rav Huna. The second opinion is Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rav Chista and the son of Rav Huna, Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amrei Arba. They say that if it's four tvachim, then it's considered a sukkah tachas a sukkah. But if you only have less than four tvachim, then it's not considered a significant structure. Why is that? Because in general, we find, remember we learned in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Erevin, Shelo Matzinu Makum Choshev Pachos Me'Arba'a. And since it's masculine, it's arba, it means tvachim. So we never find an area that's considered significant in halacha unless it's at least four tvachim wide. The minimal size of a shus hayachid is four tvachim by four tvachim wide. Similarly, you have other scenarios where it's considered a significant space only if it's four tvachim by four tvachim. So therefore, Rav Chista and Rabba by Rav Huna, they say that in order to be considered a significant sukkah on the top, that it's sukkah, tachat sukkah, for the one underneath it, it has to have at least four tvachim in its height. That's the second opinion. And finally, the third opinion, that is the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, Shmuel Omar Asara. He says the significant amount for the top sukkah has to be at least 10 tvachim. Where does he get this from? So my time with the Shmuel, Kech Sheira, Kach Psula. He says, what makes a kosher sukkah, that's what makes it into a sukkah. So that needs to be at least 10 tvachim. If it's not 10 tvachim, then it's not considered a kosher sukkah. And therefore, as Rashi points out, in Dibra Maskul, Chashera Kapsula, Mishtum Shtei Sukkos Psula, Kra, the Torah tells us you can't have a sukkah tachas a sukkah, and unless you determine that the upper one is called a sukkah, so then, V'chiles Beba Yona, Hech Shesukkah, unless the top one has 10 tvachim, have sukkah. It's not considered a sukkah. And therefore, lo pasla, it doesn't ruin it. So, the three opinions again, a tefach, according to Rav Huna, Rav Huna's son Rabba, and Rav Chista say it's four tvachim, considered chashev, and Shmuel says that it's 10 tvachim to be considered a sukkah, tachas sukkah. And I didn't finish reading the last sheet of Shmuel, kechshera kach psula, machshera be'asara, apsula be'asara. So to make it into a good sukkah, it needs 10 tvachim, so therefore to ruin it as a sukkah, tachas sukkah, so then it has to have also 10 tvachim. Now the Gemara is going to question Shmuel's opinion from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we have the Tanakhama that said that if you have a sukkah tachas sukkah, it's no good. And then we brought along Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we learned it on Mishnah, im ein diorin bo el yona. If people can't live in the upper sukkah, that's the simple translation, but I said we would explain what it means now, and that's what we're going to do. Ha tachtona kshera. Then the bottom one is going to be kshera if the top one cannot support diorin. It can't support people dwelling there. Now that's the simple meaning of the words. Where it says, my ein diorin. What does Rav Yehuda mean? It says if there are no dwellers over there. Ilema diorin mamish, it means actual people living over there. So where do we find that that's a criteria for posseling or making a sukkah kosher if somebody lives there? Otu diorin kogarmi, is it the people living in the sukkah that make it into a problem over here, that it's sukkah tachas sukkah, and there's no people living over there, then it's not a problem in sukkah tachas sukkah? What do people living there have to do with anything? So therefore, it can't mean that it literally, Rav Yehuda says, if there are people living there, it's a sukkah tachas sukkah. If there are people not living there, then it's not a sukkah tachas sukkah. There's nothing to do with it. So then what do the words ein diorin bo yona haktachtonu kshera mean? So elo lav my ein diorin. When it means ein diorin, it means kol sheino re'uya ledira. It's not capable of supporting people living there. So then it's not considered a sukkah according to Rav Yehuda. Ve'echidami, what are the definitions then of somebody not being able to live there? It's not roi ledira. Hechidami, the logavar sarit. Mustn't it mean that it's not 10 tvachim tall? So Shmuel fits in very, very well with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, since it's not 10 tvachim tall, people can't live there. But that doesn't fit in. Michal, the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Shmuel wants to be not like a Das Yochim, Rabbi Yehuda. He wants to be like the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. So therefore, the kash is on Shmuel from the Tanakhama. Michal, the Tanakhama, Savar, Avabi, Shena Ru Yodira, Psula. Even though it doesn't have 10 tvachim, the Tanakhama says that it's Psula. So therefore, Shmuel can only go according with the Yehuda. That's the kash on Shmuel. We want it to be Lekula Yama. So Gemara says, no, even Shmuel could be Lekula Yama. He also Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Amar, he said, Ami bin Rabba, they say over in Eretz Yisrael, in Ein HaTachtona Yecholu Lekabo Karu Muksosos Shelo Yona HaTachtona Kshera. Rabbi Yehuda's definition has nothing to do with whether it's 10 tefachim or not to be a sukkah, tacha sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says that if ain't diyar in there, then it's good. It has nothing to do with people living there or 10 tefachim. It has to do with, can it support structures in that roof of the bottom one, which is the floor of the top one? Can it support karim uksasos, pillows and blankets? Can it support such structures? So, in ena tachtoni yichol l'kabel, if the bottom structure, the roof, is not capable of supporting these pillows and covers as the floor of the top sukkah, so then it is not considered something that ru'uyin l'doyer shama, and therefore hatachtona k'shera. It is no sukkah, tacha sukkah, the top sukkah is nothing, and therefore it is good. The bottom one is good. The Gemara says, but that, again, Shmuel seems to only be in accord with Rabbi Yehuda, because miklal, that the Tanakhama holds, that afal pi sheina ru'ya l'kabel, even though it can't go and hold up these pillows and covers, psula, nevertheless it's no good. So therefore, that seems to imply that the reason why it can't support it is because it doesn't have 10 tefachim. So again, it's a kasha on Shmuel, because it's so insignificant that it doesn't have the ability to support, yet it's good. So therefore, even if it doesn't have the 10 tefachim, it's still considered a sukkah tacha sukkah, kasha on Shmuel. So Shmuel says, no. Again, ika benayu, the yichol l'kabel ayideh hatchak. So no, the actual machlokas over here in our Mishnah is now explained as follows. Everybody agrees that if it can't support a person or even the pillows and the covers, so then the top sukkah is not considered a sukkah. And that's only if it's less than 10 tefachim. Because if it's more than 10 tefachim, it's by definition going to be significant. So that's exactly what Shmuel says. Everybody agrees to that. And likewise, if it can support that, so everybody agrees that it is a good sukkah. So what's the difference between them? That it only can accept it in a perilous or precarious type of a situation. Their review that says that that is considered no good. That top sukkah doesn't have the status if it only can accept it precariously. And that's what he means in Ein Diorin Bel Yona. If the top one is only precariously able to hold up these pillows and covers, so then Rabbi says the top one is considered gornished and the bottom one is the ksheira. And the Chachamim, the Tanakama, they hold no. As long as it can hold it, even though it's precarious, that turns the top sukkah into a valid sukkah and the bottom one is therefore no good. And therefore there's no kasha Shmuel could hold like the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Peiras Olea Sodin. If you go and spread out a sheet over your schach. Now, why would you do that? Because the sun is barring you. Even though you have enough shade from the schach to be tzelosa, meruba, mechamasa, so you have 51% schach and 49% sun. A lot of sun is still coming in. So you go put up a sheet to go and block out the rest of the sun. So if you do this, it's no good. Or alternatively, or instead of putting the sheet over the schach to block the sun, you put the sheet underneath the schach to go and collect all the falling leaves. These are what branches down. And the leaves would fall off the branches. They fall into your soup, and they'd make it an uncomfortable thing to sit in the sukkah. So if you wanted to go put a sheet underneath the schach to go collect all the leaves, so in both of these situations, or in the following scenario, Oshapiris Algabi Akinov. Akinov is a four canopy post bed. Kinuf, probably the word canopy comes from kinuf. It's you have four posts in the four corners, and you spread a sheet out or on top of them. Again, you see a picture in the Art Scroll, you see pictures in the Illustrated Gemara, and the Pirush Chai as well. So if you spread out a sheet on top of this bed, which has the four posts in the corner, in all of these situations, Pirush L'Sadin M'Yachama, or Tachtel Mipnei HaNesher, or Pirush L'Gabi Akinuf, in all of these situations, Psula, it is no good, because you're not sleeping in the first two cases underneath Kosher Eschach. You put something else up there that is this sheet that is not functioning as Eschach. And likewise, in the scenario with the Kinuf, we'll have to explore this a little bit more in the Gemara, you're basically in a Sukkah, Tacha Sukkah, and you're not in a Kosher Eschach. You're in a separate area that's not underneath the Eschach, and therefore it's no good. Psula. These three cases are all no good. However, the Mishnah tells us, Abal Porisu Agabe Naklite Hamita. Naklite are different than Kinuf. Naklite is when you have a single post by the headboard and a single post by the footboard, and then you have a pole connecting them, and then you spread out a canopy over this pole, and it goes down like a teepee, like an angle. It goes down like an inverted V. So again, you see diagrams of this both in the Art Scroll and in the Illustrated Gemara and the Pirush Chai. And in this situation, that is acceptable. The Mishnah tells us, Poresu agabi naklit hamita, that is not considered that you're underneath an ohel. And the Gemara will discuss this further. Now, we start off in the Gemara, Amar Chista, when we said, in fact, that you're not allowed to go spread out a sheet to collect the leaves that are underneath your schach, that ruins it. That was only when you're doing it, lo shanu elev nehaneshar. That's only that the leaves shouldn't collect in it. You're not doing it, therefore, as schach, you're doing it to collect the leaves. Avolinosa. But if you're doing it for beautification, you have a beautiful sheet there with diagrams and beautiful colorings on it. That's a picture of the Beis HaMikdash on it. Avolinosa. For beautification of your sukkah, to make it noy sukkah, kshera. Then it's absolutely acceptable. The noy sukkah, even though they're covering it up, they're blocking the schach, so to say, that is acceptable. It is not a problem because it's noy sukkah, and decorations of a sukkah don't ruin the schach. Where it says, pshita, that's clear, that's obvious, because the Mishnah said specifically, mipnei hanishar tanan. Our Mishnah said, only to if you're putting it up to collect the leaves, is it a problem? Implication being, if you're putting it up for decorative purposes, then it's perfectly acceptable. Where it says, no. There's still a chiddush over here. Ma'al d'tema, I might have thought on my own that even for decorative purposes, no good. Hu adin da'afilu l'na'osa, it's not good. But why does the Mishnah say b'nei hanashar? Because of the falling leaves? Because that's the common situation. By diktan b'nei hanashar, the reason why it mentions specifically that you're not allowed to put it up to collect the leaves, because that's why most people would put it up. Or chodemilsa, the normal way to do this is what the Mishnah tells us. Ketani, that's the case that it tells us. But lav davka, that it would not mean that if you put it up for decorative purposes, just most people don't put up a sheet across the entire top of the sukkah. They put up decorative things on the walls, but they don't put up a sheet on the top of the sukkah. So you're looking up at the roof of your sukkah, and you have this beautiful sheet with pictures on it, so people don't do that. But if somebody did that, it would still be no good. So that's what I might have thought. And the only reason it says b'nei hanishar is because that's the common usage. But any usage would be no good. Therefore, kamash v'lan. Rochista is being mechadish over here. It's not pshita. He's telling us, no, it's only because of b'nei hanishar that it's no good. By putting it up for decorative purposes, for noy sukkah, that is allowed. And let us say that the following statements supports Rav Chisda. If you were to go, in fact, put up schach kihilchasa, what does it mean kihilchasa? We'll see in a second that you're putting up appropriate schach according to the requirements that schach has. So sichicha kihilchasa, you put up kosher schach, and then the itron, you decorated it bikrumim. Krumim are, Rashi tells us, maise orega, weaving process, kikom big yitzvonim, like colored garments, that is beautifying the sukkah. So you put up these beautiful embroideries, or you put up sedinin, hametsuyarim, or these sheets that have diagrams or pictures on them that are beautiful. You have a picture of all the sukkahs that we're talking about here in the first parak of sukkah. Are they kosher or not? So they're beautiful wall posters, so you put it up as a ceiling poster. The taller boy goes in, or you hang walnuts from the ceiling, various types of nuts, shkedim almonds, or farsakin is peaches, rimonim or pomegranates, and you hang these all up. Or parchile anovim, you hang up a cluster of grapes, or ataro shel shibolin, or various types of grains, or yenos, shimonim, usulosos, you hang up wine or oil or flour, obviously in some sort of a container, you'd have to put them in something. In all of these situations, this is beautiful noy sukkah, but it's designated as noy sukkah decorations, and you're not allowed to use it for all 7 days. Also, lustapik mehem, and we turn to Yudomid Beis, you're not allowed to go and use these types of noy sukkah for food. You want to drink the wine, you want to eat the peach. They're muktza, they're huktza le noy sukkah, and therefore you can't use them ad motza yon tovo achun shochak until sukkah is over. However, but if you said, no, I'm putting it up as noy sukkah, but I'm reserving the right to go and eat this peach if I want to, then hakol lefi tano, then you're allowed to do that, because you weren't makzeh, you weren't designating it as noy sukkah alone, you were saying, it's noy sukkah until I want to eat it, and then it's food. Now, here you see clearly that it says that all of these sadinim mitsuyarim and the krumim are not going to ruin the sukkah. It says it's perfectly kosher sukkah. You just can't take them down and use them for something else. So lema masaya leder Rav Chisda. This sounds like it's a perfectly good support for Rav Chisda from this brisa. Who says lav davka? Who says that you hung these sheets up as a roof, as a ceiling? Who said that? Dilma min atzai. Maybe you put it up on the wall, and therefore there is no proof from here. It's not a raya against Rav Chisda, but it's certainly not a proof to Rav Chisda. Similarly, itma, we learned in the following statement, noy sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah, eimim matin besukkah. We had previously in the Masechta that if the sukkah is more than 20 amma, you have to lower the schach. So if instead of lowering the schach, you just put in some decorations, and now the decorations are within the 20 amma limit, that doesn't count as the schach as being within the 20 amma limit, and the lowering of the height of the sukkah will not be accomplished by putting in decorations. You know, Yisukka, Eim Mimatim Yisukka. But Rav Ashi qualified this and said, Omar Rav Ashi, Uminatzad Mimatim. But if you have a sukkah that's exactly 7 by 7 Tvachim, and now you go put up some additional decorations on the side, and now you're minimizing the space, so this turns the sukkah into a not usable sukkah. It's too small. It's less than 7 by 7 Tvachim. So here it does ruin it. It's Mimayit. So it's not Mimayit from the top in terms of lowering the height to 20. And likewise, Tosus points out over here that it's not Mimayit on the bottom as well. Let's say you have exactly a 10 Tefach sukkah, and the Schach starts at exactly 10.1 Tvachim above the ground. And now you put in decorations, so the decorations don't ruin it. By the hoots, and if you remember earlier, we said the hoots and the little branches that come down, the twigs that come down off your Schach, they do ruin it for you. So the difference is, in that situation, you don't want them over there. So therefore, it becomes a sukkah srucha. Becomes a difficult to live in sukkah because you have these branches coming down into the 8 Tvachim area, the 9 Tvachim area, and they're annoying to you. But the decorations you put there, you by definition want them over there, and therefore they don't ruin it for you. So therefore there's a number of different dinim with things coming down into the airspace. Sometimes it's mamayit, sometimes it's not mamayit. It depends whether you want it there or not want it there sometimes. And on the side, if it physically makes the space less than 7 by 7 Tvachim, then it is mamayit. Okay. Gemara tells us a ma'isa shahaya. Minyamin, who was Minyamin? He was Avdi the Rav Ashi. He was the servant of Rav Ashi. And what did he do? It misha le kitunta b'maya. His shirt became sopping wet with water, and he wanted to dry it out. So he said, "Hey, there's a sukkah. I'll put it on top of the sukkah." V'yishtatcha, he spread it out on the taltala. He spread it out on the shade. Metaltala is tzel on the shade, which means the schach. So he spread out this wet shirt over the schach. So Rav Ashi saw this, and Rav Ashi tells him, only Rav Ashi, no, you can't do that. Daya, take it away, remove it. So the lo lemru, that people shouldn't say, komisache b'davar makabotuma. People will see that and think that Rav Ashi has given his hashkacha to putting up a shirt as the schach. Now a shirt is makabotuma, it's a beged, it's a kli, and therefore it can't be good for kosher schach. No matter what the material is, it's makabotuma. Something's makabotuma, can't be schach. So therefore Rav Ashi said, take the shirt down so people don't make a mistake. But Minyamin, must have been a Talmud Chacham, he said to his master Rav Ashi, he says, wait a second, people are going to see v'akochazu le'deritiva. People are going to see it's sopping wet. So therefore, everybody's going to know that you're not putting it up there as schach, and it would drip in on somebody underneath there. Everybody clearly sees that you're putting it up there to dry it out. It's a clothesline, and it's not a sukkah. So his Rebbe, Rav Ashi, responded, yeah, okay. That's not what I meant. I said, L'chi Yavsha, once it's dry, and it won't be recognizable that it's Retiva, and that you put it up there as a clothesline, but once people see a dry shirt up there, they may mistakenly think that it is being used by Rav Ashi as Schach, and they'll say, oh, shirts are good for Schach, so therefore, I only said to remove it, L'chi Yavsha, when it dries, Kamin Aloch, I said to take it off. Gemara continues as Itmar, we learn the following statement, Noi sukkah, if you have decorations in the sukkah, hamuflogim mimeno arba, they're more than 4 tvachim from the schach. So do they constitute now an ohel? According to the opinion that we brought down Rabbah, Barafuna, and Rav Chista, they had brought down that if it's more than 4 tvachim, so then it's considered a sukkah tachas a sukkah, so would these decorations ruin it for you? So is that true or not? So you have, let's say, a sheet that's beneath the schach. So we said if it's beneath the schach to go collect the leaves, then it's no good. But if you're putting it up for decorative purposes, we said it's okay. But is that only when it's right by the schach? It has to be right adjacent to the schach? Or what happens if it's more than 4 tvachim away from the schach? So this is machlokas. Rav Nachman and Raksheira, Rav Nachman says it's absolutely still good because it's noy sukkah. Whereas Rav Chista, the Rabbi Barafuna, who before said that the 4 tvachim is the critical factor, Amri Psula, they say that it's Sula. We said that if you have 4 tvachim, it's considered a sukkah tachas sukkah. So here, this sheet is more than 4 tvachim from the schach. So it would be a sukkah tachas sukkah, and it's no good. Now, ma'aseh shoy again. Rav Chista, the Rabbi Rav Huna, these two great Amoraim went to Iklu, the Reish Kalusa. They went to the Reish Kalusa's house. They were visiting him on Yontif. So Mitzvah go visit the Reish Kalusa on Yontif. So they went there to visit. So Agninihu, Rav Nachman, Rashi tells us, was the Av Beis. He was in charge of the Beis Din, and Vanagid Umetsuva, the Beis Rosh Gola. And he was in charge of the Reish Kalusa's house to take care of all the things that were done over there. And anything that he said, Bosin Apip, he would speak and they would do. So Rav Nachman is housing now Rav Chista, Rabbi Rav Huna in the Reish Kalusa's complex. So it's sukkahs. Everybody sleeps outdoors. Everybody was sleeping in the sukkah. So Agninu, he put them to sleep in this sukkah, Rav Nachman's sukkah, shenoyeha muflogim imena arba tvachim. He put them in a sukkah where they had decorative ceiling, but the ceiling was more than four tvachim away from the schach. Now, Rav Nachman felt that that was perfectly good. He had no compunction in putting them over there. But previously, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna had expressed their opinion that it's no good. So, what would happen? He put them there, vishtiku. They didn't say bo, below amrule, below midi. They didn't say to Rav Nachman, hey, this is not a kosher sukkah, why are you putting us over here? They didn't say anything. No, Rav Nachman was a little bit surprised that they didn't say anything. Amar Lehu, he said to Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, how come you're not complaining, so to say? How come you're not telling me that this is not a kosher sukkah? Have you retracted your opinion? Hadabu Rabbanon Mishmasayu? Have you retracted your opinion that you were arguing with me previously, and now you agree that even if it's more than four tefach away, it's a kosher eschach still, because this is Lenoi, and it doesn't ruin the kosher eschach above it, even though it's more than four tefach away? So they responded to him. Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna, they said, we haven't retracted our position, but anan shluchi mitzvah anan, since we're going to visit the Reish Galusa, and therefore we're osek b'mitzvah, we're therefore potter min ha-mitzvah, we don't have to do the mitzvah of sukkah, or p'turin min ha-sukkah. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, mutar lishon b'chilo b'sukkah. Now, this seems to go against what the Mishnah said. Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel is telling us that it is permissible to sleep underneath a kila. Now, a kila sounds like it's exactly the same thing as a kinofos, a canopy four-post sukkah. So we'll see in a moment what the difference is. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, different than our Mishnah, he says, mutar lishon b'kila b'sukkah, afal pi sheyesh lo gag, even though it has a flat roof, and therefore it should be no good. It should be a sukkah underneath the sukkah, so to say, v'hu she'ena gvasar, as long as it's not more than 10 tvachim. If it's more than 10 tvachim, then it is a problem. Then it would be a sukkah, tachas sukkah. Now, this is the first version that we have of Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, which we're now going to discuss. Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, she will have a second version. So regarding this first version, where Yehuda Mishmuel says that Mutar Lishon Bechila Basukkah, that you can sleep underneath this canopy sukkah as long as it's not more than 10 tvachim tall, so we question this. Toshma, we're not going to question it yet from our Mishnah, we will later on, but right now we're questioning from a Braisa, Toshma, Hayoshin Bechila Basukkah, if the person is sleeping underneath a canopy bed in a sukkah, lo yotzei dechavosu, the Braisa says, Beferish, you're not yotzei. So the Gemara gives a simple teretz of Mayaskinan, Kishigavo Asar. This Braisa says that you're not Yotze when it's more than 10 Tvachim. However, if it's less than 10 Tvachim, then you are Yotze, like Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. Similarly, Meisei, we have from another Braisa, Hayoshein Tachas Hamito Basukkah. If you're sleeping underneath the bed in the Sukkah, Lo Yotze Dekov Asar, you're not Yotze. Now, isn't that the same thing as Akila? Why would it be any different? And yet it says that you're not Yotze. Why does Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel go against the Braisa? So again, the Gemara gives the same teretz it gave a moment ago. Artir Gemara Shmuel Bemito Gavo Asar. The Bryce is talking about whether the bed is more than 10 tvachim above the ground. Shmuel agrees to that. He says you can't sleep in a canopy bed if it's more than 10 tvachim wide, the canopy. But if it's less than 10 tvachim wide, Yehuda Mar Shmuel says it's good. So too, this Bryce doesn't argue with what Shmuel says. Try again. Toshma. Osha piris al gabe kinofos psula. We have another Bryce that says that if you put a sheet over these kinofos, these four posts, kinofos are the canopy, the four posts in the corner, it's no good. So again, Kashi against Shmuel, he says it's good. And Mark gives the exact same teretz, Hasanami, the Gviya Asar. We're dealing that it's more than 10 Tvachim. Even Shmuel agrees that if it's more than 10 Tvachim, it would be a Sukkah, Tachas, a Sukkah, it would be no good. So these three brises we just brought down, Shmuel is easily able to explain them. However, Baha, Loktani, Hachi, but here we're going to have a brise that clearly doesn't answer with it's talking about more than 10 tvachim, and Shmuel is talking about less than 10 tvachim. Because it says in this braisa, the Tanya, Naklitin. Naklitin is a two-post canopy bed, where we have, let's say, one post at the headboard, one post at the footboard, and you have a board connecting them, and then you spread out the sheet over this single board, and it comes down like an inverted V. So, Naklitin, that's called a Naklitin bed, is Shnaim. It has two posts. The Kinofos, a canopy bed, Arba, has four posts. Now, the Braisa says, Piris agabe kinofos psula. If you put up a sheet over the four posts, so then you have a large roof and it's no good. But if you put it agabe naklitin, if you put it over the naklitin, which is a two-post bed, and it comes down like an inverted V, it doesn't have really a horizontal roof of any substance, and therefore ksheri, it's perfectly good to sleep underneath that. But the Braisa adds the caveat, ubuvad shaloyu naklitin gavo min amita asara. That's only that it's good if the naklitin don't rise up more than 10 tvachim from the bed. If it does, then it's no good. That implies, michlal, the implication is, the kinofos with the post, the four-post bed, afal pi shein gavoin asara, that that's no good even if it's less than 10 tvachim. Oh, here we have a kashi on Shmuel. Shmuel says if it's less than 10 tvachim, it's okay. The braisa clearly implies that if it's less than 10 tvachim, it's still no good. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference over here between a canopy bed and a kila. Now, we've been using them somewhat interchangeably till now that they're four post beds, but there's a difference. And Shmuel would answer, Shiny kinofos, these canopy beds are kivi. This Bryce is talking about a kinofos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel was talking about a kila. And while they each have four posts, this kinofos type of four-post bed, a canopy bed, is a much sturdier structure. And therefore, that is significant even if it's less than 10 tefachim. But the kila, albeit it has four posts, and something spread out on top of it, is a much less sturdy structure. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel says it depends on its height. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not a problem. If it's more than 10 tefachim, it's a problem. Mar says, wait a second. Vari sukkah, agabi sukkah de kviya. But in a regular case where you have a sukkah that's a kavua sukkah on top of another kavua sukkah, Shmuel said previously, that was the third opinion that we had earlier in the year, Vari Shmuel, be'achsera, ke'achsera, kach psula, that only if it's 10 tefachim, even though it's a permanent structure, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it doesn't ruin it. So how come over here, the kinofos, which is a permanent structure, but if it's less than 10 tefachim, it shouldn't ruin it? Yet the Braisa says it ruins it. So Gemara says, no. Hamri yosom, the lemivsal sukkah basara. There, when Shmuel said you need a height of 10 tefachim, that's to go and make a sukkah pasul. However, hocha, the lashavi ola, here you're talking about, is it considered an ohel or not? So, batzer me'asara, na me'havi ohola. But something can be considered an ohel, even though it's not considered a sukkah, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, if it's kavua. So the bottom line is, Yehuda Mar Shmuel would say that if you have this canopy bed, so that's considered a dover kavua, something that's sturdy, and it has the definition, the shame of an ohel, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. However, a kila isn't so sturdy. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it doesn't have the status of an ohel. If it's more than 10 tefachim, then even Yehuda Mar Shmuel says it would have the status of an ohel. And in regards to a sukkah, agabi sukkah, in order for it to be called a sukkah, you have to have 10 tefachim in order for it to be capable of ruining the top sukkah, ruining the sukkah underneath it. Finally, we have another statement. Amar of Tachlifa Baravimi, Amar Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa Baravimi said in the name of Shmuel the following statement. Hayoshim Bekila Arum. If a person were to be unclothed underneath this canopy four-post bed, so he is not allowed to say Shema. So Rav Tachlifa Baravimi says in the name of Shmuel that if he just sticks his head out of the canopy bed, Motzi Rosho Chutz Lakila, if he puts it outside of this Kila canopy bed, he would fulfill his obligation to read Kriyashma. Motzi Roshu Chutz Lakila V'Kori Kriyashma. You can't read Kriyashma while you're naked, but this is considered that you're covered up with the canopy bed, so it serves as a cover for you, and therefore, Libo Eino Ro Esa Erva, and you're allowed to go and read Kriyashma in this situation. This is no different than if you're wearing clothing and your head sticks out of your clothing. So your head is sticking out of your clothing called the Kila. That's what Rav Tachlifa Baravimi said in the name of Shmuel. More questions. This meisvei hayoshim bekila arum. If you're sleeping in a kila that and you're unclothed, lo yotzi. You can't fulfill your obligation by kriyashma just by sticking out your head. Rosho chutz lekila yikari kriyashma. So it says here specifically, you cannot do this for a kila, and this is a brisa. So how can Shmuel argue with this brisa? Shmuel gives us a teretz that we've already heard before. Hachem layaskina kishe gvoa asara. Here you're talking about that it's more than 10 tefachim. If it's more than 10 tefachim, it's considered as if you are in an ohel, a separate tent. Now, you can't stick your head out a window if you're naked and say, well, my head's in a separate area and my body's in a different area, so therefore I'm allowed to say kriyashma. No, your body is normally considered in one area. But you're wearing clothing, so even though you and your body are in the same area, the clothing is the separation between your genital area and your heart, and therefore you're allowed to say kriyashma. So, therefore, in this situation, we're dealing with a canopy bed that is more than 10 tefachim. In that situation, it's as if you're naked underneath this ohel, and sticking your head out the window won't do any good. Sticking your head out of the canopy bed doesn't do any good. And I'll show you that this is right, hochanami mistabra, because midiktoni sefer. Keep on reading that brisa. The brisa says, what is it comparable to over here when a person is not allowed to read Shmiras by sticking his head out of the canopy bed that's more than 10 tefachim? Ha lamaze dome laomed babayis arum. It's like a person standing naked in his house. He can't read Kriyashma. So what, he won't accomplish anything by sticking his head out the window and saying Kriyashma. Shlo yotzi rosho chutz lechalon. You can't stick your head out the window. If you carry Kriyashma and read Kriyashma then, because you and your body are still considered halachically in the same area. And you're in a house naked. You can't read Kriyashma, despite the fact that your head is out the window. Therefore, Shema Mina, we see that this is exactly the same scenario as sticking your head out of a canopy bed that's more than 10 tefachim. That's not considered any more clothing on you. That is considered you're in an entity called an ohel underneath this canopy bed, and sticking your head out the window, sticking your head out of the canopy bed, doesn't accomplish anything. However, as Rav Tachlifa Baravimi said in the name of Shmuel, if it's less than 10 tefachim, so then this is essentially like you're wearing clothing. It's considered on top of your body. And therefore, when you're wearing clothing, even though your head is outside the clothing, you can say Kriya Shema. So too over here, your head is considered outside of the clothing called the kila, and therefore you can read Kriya Shema, and therefore there's no stira between what Shmuel said and what this brisa says. We turn to Yudalef from Aleph. We just do a little bit more, and then we'll stop. So we continue. Ubayis nami, and even in the house, afa pisha engavo asara. In a house, even though it's not 10 tefachim tall, nevertheless, kivon de kriya, it's a house. It's a set, sturdy structure. It is considered alu no matter what. And the lo gora mikinophos, and therefore it would be no different than a kinophos. Now the kinophos, so the kinophos is different than the kila. The kinophos is like a house, and that's why if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, it still constitutes an important area because it's a sturdy kaviya dika type of structure. But the kila, that will depend on its height. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not considered a significant enough structure. It's considered like clothing on the person in regards to shema, and it's considered not like an oil in regards to sitting in the sukkah underneath it, and therefore that's okay. And that's the difference between a kila and a kinophos in a house in regards to the sedinim. This is the first opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel. Tomorrow we'll have Lishnach Rina Amrila. We'll have a second opinion of what Rabbi Yehuda Amrishmuel said. With this, we conclude today's shir.